Hello there, faithful Fat Guy Forum listeners. Before we get into this week's episode, I just want to remind you that there are several ways you can support this show. First of all, just the fact that you're downloading the show, listening, that helps a lot. But if you could rate and review the show on whatever podcast service you're using, I would greatly appreciate that because that gets the show in front of more people. You can also share it with people you think might benefit from the show. If you are interested in investing more in supporting the show, there's a few ways to do that. First of all, in the show notes of every episode, there are links to companies and products that I am an affiliate for that I use on a daily basis as a part of my own personal healthy journey that I feel I love sharing with all of you. And if you use those links and codes, you save a little bit and you also generate some revenue for the show. Another way is, of course, the Patreon. And the Patreon for the Fat Guy Forum is not only a way for you to show some financial support for the show, but you also get access to bonus material. And right now that includes 58 bonus episodes where I continue my conversations with the guests in the after show. And you also get a say in how the show evolves and grows. I'm thinking of changing the Fat Guy 5 soon, and I would love to get the input of all my Patreons on that. So if you are interested in that, sign up for one of the tiers of the Patreon that involves a payment. Yes, you can sign up for free. I don't know why Patreon allows that, but you can do that, but you don't get access to any of the fun stuff. So sign yourself up. Link is in the show notes. And now let's get on to this week's new guest. Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the next episode of the Fat Guy Forum. This is your host, Gormy, and I am happy to be with you once again here on the show. We are getting into it with a new guest this week. His name is Ernie. Ernie, how's your day going so far?
It is going well. Thank you.
Well, man, I'm glad to have you here, and I'm excited to get into this journey that you have been on. So let's get into it, man. Tell us, what qualifies you to be on the Fat Guy Forum?
Well, I've always been on a heavy side. Always struggled with weight, always chubby. I hit my highest point at 411 pounds that I know of.
Mm-hmm. And now when you say, I was going to say, when you say you were always heavy, like, were you a chubby kid, or was it something that came on later in life? Like, I've had people on the show that, like, from birth, they were bigger, and then I've had other guys come on where it wasn't until they were in their after college age where they started putting weight on. So where did that all kind of really get started for you?
It's the weight started getting on after I became a teenager, basically hitting puberty, and, you know, everything changes. And I graduated high school. I was around 235, which doesn't seem like a lot now, but it's always been a struggle with food. Obviously, I have an eating problem, and I have a food addiction, and that's been the toughest obstacle to overcome. And so it's just hitting that high point. Just that it's the high. I hit 411. I got bad knees. My knees are shot. I was just warming my son up. I was coaching his baseball team. I was warming him up. He was going to pitch, and I'm squatting down to catch, and I stand up. And something goes in my knee, and I couldn't walk for months. I could barely tie my shoes. I go to the doctor. I got a tear in the meniscus. I got arthritis, and they do surgery, and I'm still having trouble, even on medication. And this is right around when my mom passed at a very young age, and it's like everything's hitting me. It's the doctor tells me either you lose weight or you go on disability. So that was a wake up call. And most people who are in the situation we are in have to face that reality that you need to change or something bad's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Got me going.
Mm-hmm. And had you tried to lose weight before? Like, was it something you were really conscious of before that?
Oh, yeah. I've tried everything. I tried keto. That was the South Beach diet back in the day. It was this. It was that. I love food. I think about food all the time. And people can't realize what goes through my head on a daily basis about food. It may sound stupid to some people, but it's a reality. You think about, I eat breakfast, I'm thinking about what I'm eating for lunch. I eat lunch, I'm thinking about what I'm eating for dinner. I'm thinking about what I'm eating for dinner next week. I see a dozen of donuts at work. I stare at it. I'll eat until I'm full, but I got to have more. And I'm sure there's people out there that can relate. It doesn't sound like an addiction that, I don't know what the word is. It may seem silly, but it's an addiction that can affect your life and it's your health. And you have to change it. And
I think a lot of people listening can probably, are actually the people that are going to relate to that, like that feeling. Like I was actually laughing this morning at the gym because I was listening to another podcast and they were talking about weight and weight issues and food addiction and, food obsession. And, someone was just bringing up, like, realizing that, like, they never realized that other people didn't think about food as much as they did and didn't enjoy food as much as they did and didn't respond to food the same way. Like, when that's the way your brain functions, it's not like a simple switch just to turn that switch off. Like, it's overcoming a lot of just well-worn grooves and habits and, what we use food for and the place that it holds in our lives when we struggle with these issues.
Oh, absolutely. And it's, you turn to food for when you're depressed. You turn to food for when you have a bad day at work. It's my alcohol. It's my drug that if I'm depressed or for whatever reason that I'm turning to food. And it started when I was a kid. I had my own family members criticize me, tease me, call me names because I was fat or I basically ate like a pig. And you would hear that and all it did was drive you to food more. And it's a cycle that's hard to break. And I don't know if I ever will break it.
That's definitely something, I talk about a lot with people, like that idea that, because I think we have this desire to feel quote unquote cured. And the reality is, like, a lot of these pieces don't, even when we identify what was driving some of these forces, like you were saying, like whether it's mood, emotions, experiences, all of that, and manage those things better, we've already built the habits and we've already kind of worn those grooves into our brains where food is the go-to. So even if we know we're going to go to something else eventually, that's the first, can be the first thing in line. And it becomes about managing it better instead of just saying it's going to completely go away.
Yeah, and it's, and people don't realize that losing weight, the mental aspect of it is the hardest part. Mm-hmm. And it's you can go to the gym for an hour. Well, you have 23 hours in a day to think about food. And when you're somebody who thinks about food all the time, it's that's the challenging part. And I'm at the point now where there's certain foods that we won't have in a house because I'll sit and eat it all till it's gone. Even on my best day, I still struggle. And I'll eat out of boredom. I'll eat out of anger. I'll eat out of, if I'm upset about something, I'll eat something. And keeping your mind busy on other things, to me, is what helped me. I would rather go be outside doing something, keeping my mind occupied, because if I sit in the house and I sit and watch TV, my mind's on food. What's out there that I could snack on? What's out there? And plus, if you don't buy it, that helps.
Well, yeah, it becomes about access.
Yes, sir. It's there. I'm going to eat it.
Understood. So 411 pounds, having gone through everything, you know, everything that you were going through at that time, you know, not just the surgery and your loss, and, you know, that's a lot going on. And then having the doctor say, you know, if you don't do anything about this, you're not going to get better. You're not going to move better. You know, you're going to go on disability. What went through your head at that time?
I was scared. Do I just say hell with it and this is accept what is, or do I change it? And I had to change. I had young kids. I had to do it for me, and I had to do it for them. More for them, because I didn't want my kids going without a dad. You know, because I see it, you know, I'm almost 40 years old at the time. You know, I could be next. You know, 400 pounds. I mean, I think the only thing that saved me was I've always had a physical job. I've never not done manual labor. And then people still wonder how the heck I got to 411 pounds doing manual labor. That just tells you how much I ate.
Mm-hmm. So knowing that you were in that place of knowing you needed to make change and having some really solid reasons for it, you know, like not just the health news from the doctor, but the purpose, you know, wanting to be there for your kids and, you know, wanting to, you know, in the end up being there for yourself. Like how did you start working on that?
Basically the doctor is telling me 1500 calorie diet and walk so much a day. And it's, well, that sounds easy and you do it and you stick to it. And then you stray away from it for a day or two. And then that's just, you know, you just kind of fade away back going to your old habits. And I tried certain things. I tried, you know, cardio. I would do this. I would get bored. Cardio is not my thing. It's really not. I could go hiking in the mountains all day long, but walking on a treadmill, 5 minutes seems like an eternity. And I would try diets, I would try exercises, and I wouldn't get get the results I wanted. And I would quit, put weight back on, lose weight. And when I joined a gym and started lifting weights, I really didn't know what I was doing. And I got a trainer, learned a few things, started working out with him on the weekends. And in a couple months, your weight training, you see a difference. You know, your arms are getting bigger, your legs are getting a little bit, you're getting a little, your belt's getting a little bit tight, you know, looser. And I started working out with him, and I started working out with another guy in the afternoon. Guys taught me how to deadlift. He was one of the major guys who made me change my mindset. This guy was 72 years old, deadlifting 505, squatting 405. I mean, this guy, and he would load up the bar doing deadlifts. I would struggle to lift the weight. He'd put more weight on. And I told him, I can't lift that. Why? I said, because he says, you tell me you can't one more time. He says, you're not lifting with me. He says, you don't make excuses. You try it. If you fail, then it's too heavy. And working with this guy for, I forget how long it was, 6 months at least, it really changed my mindset. It made me, I can't make an excuse, because you make an excuse, you've already admitted you failed. If you try and you fail, you have tried and you've failed. You try again. And that's when my mindset changed. And that was probably 7 years ago. I haven't missed a day at the gym since, other than my scheduled rest week. I show up regardless. I work 50, 60 hours a week. I don't make an excuse. Get your butt there. Put the work in. You have good days. You have bad days. But you try.
How did the impact of that mind shift change, that mindset change, sorry, that mindset shift, I guess is the words I was going for. How did that kind of trickle down into everything that you were doing?
It's everything in life. I look at life, that's how I look at life. It's completely changed my life. At work, I'm confident. I'm confident at the gym. I'm confident in my life. I'm confident in everything. I honestly believe there's nothing I can't do. And there is nothing I refuse to say I won't. I won't do, or I won't try. If something I want, I'm going to try it. If it's important to you, you will find a way. And your health should be the most important thing. If you want it better, you find a way. Working out is just part of it. Your habits outside of it is another part. You just have to ask yourself, why are you doing this? Who are you doing it for? Why do you need to keep doing this? Do I have my moments where I struggle? Of course. Do I look in the fridge and think, oh God, I want to eat that? Do I sometimes? Oh yeah, I do. But, hey, you fall off a bike, you get back on it, and you keep pedaling. And people in our situation, that's the way we have to live life. Because it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a struggle the rest of our lives with our weights.
Well, it's that why, you know, I always talk about, like, having a clear understanding of that why of your purpose and how that drives your intent and your action is, I 100% believe that is the key for people that struggle with food issues, with weight issues, you know, especially who, you know, getting on the scale and seeing 411 pounds, you know, and knowing that it probably was higher, like, you know, that's not going to, you know, overnight, that's not going to become, go from 400 to 200. Like, it's going to take time, effort, energy, work, all of those things. And if you are not driven by purpose through all of that, that's when it's easy not to just, you know, have a day or a meal that goes off, but have months or years that go off, because you lose sight of, you know, it's not just about repetition. You know, consistency isn't just about repetition. Consistency is about that repetition with purpose. It's about understanding that I don't just need to do this on the days that I feel like doing it. I need to do these things on a daily basis because this is important to me.
You are 100% correct. And just when I started weight training and I started seeing the changes in not just physically, but mentally, like things started to become easier in my life. And it just sinks in, you know what, if I just keep applying this, life is going to get better. And it has. And it's, I'm trying to word this the right way. Yeah. It's, you just have to remember that it's a marathon. It took me years to put this weight on. Years. And it's going to take even longer to take it off. And you have to accept that. And a lot of losing weight is accepting reality and accepting the truth. And sometimes the truth isn't pleasant, but it's the truth. And if you deny the truth, you're not going to succeed.
And I think that comes with that because you realize the flip side of that, that in a lot of ways, you know, putting on the weight that we put on, getting to the points that we got to, involved a lot of avoiding the truth, a lot of self-delusion, and a lot of, you know, willful ignorance to things that were going on. Like, you can know something is a problem and still do your best to just keep that problem in the corner of your eye instead of in center view. You know, allow that truth to be there, but not really be something that you're admitting or focusing on. And, you know, I think something else that's in there that you're saying that's really important is the idea, you know, that things do get better and things get easier, but they don't get better and easier by taking the easy path. You know, that the path that's filled with excuses or quick fixes or looking for miracles and looking for magic pills and things along those lines. Like, it's realizing that to get to the place where things feel easier, you have to do some hard things and you have to be willing to go through those hard things.
Yes. And I've learned that. And there was one gym I belonged to, there was a bodybuilder there. He's pretty famous locally for bodybuilding. And he would be in there on Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon. Usually just be me and him. And I would pick his brain a little bit. And he would commend me for, you know, I'm always there. I'm always putting the work in and always doing the hard work. I'm not just there going through the motions. And you have to push yourself. At the gym, outside of the gym, if you go to the gym for an hour and a half and you leave there like you just got there, you didn't train hard enough. That's just my opinion. I leave the gym. I know I've worked out. I ask myself, could I have pushed myself harder? you're not going to go full steam every workout. I know we all work and we all have families and we do the best we can. And I apply that outside the gym. I don't look for the closest parking spot at the store. I park farther away and walk. I don't take the... I just started a new job. I could have had an easier department. I took the harder one. Why? Because it's challenging. You're challenging your mind. You're challenging your body. And you have to do that in every aspect of your life. And you do that, everything becomes easier.
So what did applying all of this to food look like for you?
Actually, coping with food now is probably a lot easier. One, I can eat more because I lift a lot of weights and I have a manual job. I can eat a lot and still lose weight. And I know it drives people crazy sometimes because I can eat like that. But you people got to understand, I don't have a sit-down job. You know, for the majority of my weight loss, I worked in a glass factory that was 120 degrees moving 200-300 pound steel molds all day. Yeah, I can eat a lot more than somebody sitting typing on a computer. And it's, you know, it's easier for men to lose weight than women. It's just the reality of it. There's no denying that. And when you put muscle on, your metabolism gets hot. You can burn more calories. You can eat more. And that was one of the reasons why I started weight training. I'm like, oh, this is great. I can eat more. You know, I'm not eating 1,000 calories a day. I can eat. And it's my diet has been the same probably for the last 6 years. I eat 6 eggs for breakfast every morning. That's all I've had for the last 6 years for breakfast. Unless I'm on vacation and we go out for breakfast, then I get something different. I usually have a meal prep every Sunday. I have chicken and rice mainly for lunch. Sometimes I'll make a chicken wrap. Sometimes I'll make, you know, enchiladas or something, but my lunches are pretty consistently the same. Dinners, usually whatever the wife makes. She have a salad, a protein, you know, a side. And that's my diet. And sometimes one night a week, we usually go out to dinner. Yeah, you gotta live life too. And being somebody who likes to cook, you know, I like to smoke foods during the summer. Well, that's something I do. And just moderate what you eat. My opinion, what works best for me is if you're at a party, if you're at a function, have a piece of cake. It's not going to kill you. Just remember, tomorrow you're back on your diet. You're back on your regimen. Because if it was me, I would be sitting there thinking about that cake. I would be sitting there eating about that cookie. And I would drive me crazy knowing that I didn't eat that cookie. So then what happens? You go, you stop here. Now you're buying a dozen of donuts or you're buying this because you've been craving it. That's just me. I know some people are different, but...
Well, I think that's part of the mess of it all, isn't it? You know, especially when it comes to food addiction issues and compulsive eating and all of those different things that can come with it, is it really is about finding what is going to allow you to be sustainable in the work that you're doing. Like, one, you know, I think there's something that you when talking about the idea of like your breakfast and lunch being consistent, like, I think that is something that ends up, you know, for some people, becomes an incredible support. You know, that cuts food noise down because the decisions are already made. You know, like, you're removing decision fatigue when it comes to food. And I think, you know, when it comes to like you're talking about like cake at an event, you know, where you're at now, that allows you to kind of quiet that noise and acknowledge that that doesn't mean that one, because I think there are people that, depending on where they're at with their issues, like that one piece of cake at the event does lead to the dozen donuts after and opening the door, you know, to more food. So it really, again, it goes, but it goes back to what you said earlier, you know, it's being honest and truthful with yourself and being honest about where, you know, if you're not in a place where you feel like you can manage something, then manage the things and try and do the things that you can do and be honest with yourself about what are the things, like you're, when you were also talking about really at the beginning, you know, knowing there are foods, there's a difference between a piece of cake at a function and there being a sheet cake sitting in your house, you know, and every time you walk by the kitchen, there's a sheet cake sitting there. Like there's a big difference there. Like, and, but it's, I want people listening to understand, like, if you're the person who, because there were many times in my life where I was the person who was like, you know, I'm just going to sit here and obsess about this cake at this party. So I'll have a piece of it and that will end this. And then immediately my brain would say, well, that isn't really, you know, you had that cake and that was good, but is that really what you wanted? Let's, you know, it's already, you already had the cake tonight. You might as well have this, you know, and allow those thoughts to be dominant. You know, it's about understanding that it can take time to work on that relationship with food and understand that it can, it's okay to be where you're at today. You know, it's okay for the person out there listening who is like, if I'm around cake, no matter where it is, I'm going to eat cake until I'm in pain. Like, okay, then maybe for you being around cake isn't a good idea right now. Like that's okay. Like it's okay. But then it's also really good, like, to hear you talking about what are these things that you have learned that allow you to manage the food noise, to manage those things and feel like you're maintaining that semblance of, you know, that action of control that hadn't been there before. And, you know, and understanding that the things that you do on a consistent basis all play into it, you know, not just the work that you're doing, but like finding the gym and finding lifting to be something that drives you and like understanding, you know, and then making that connection, like by doing this, this impacts what I'm able to eat and, you know, and be able to make those choices. Like, I think that's a part of the journey that you have to go on as an individual and find your way through. And a lot of times people just aren't, they want to just hear what one person did and just do that exact same thing. And even though some of those things may not be working for them, they so desperately want them to be working for them that they'll keep doing it until they do break or something happens. Like you have to be willing to be open and honest about how everything you're, what you're doing and how it's impacting you.
Right. There is no blueprint for losing weight. If there was, and you could follow it, nobody would have a problem. Everybody'd be the same weight. You have to find what works for you. Everybody's different. Everybody has different tastes. Everybody has different, and that's, you have to find what works for you. If you don't, if you're not happy doing what you're doing, you need to find a different way. I'm happy eating the same thing every morning for breakfast because it's achieving the goals I want. It may not be the goals that you want. You may not want to lift the weights. You may want to do cardio. You may, okay, then do that. If your diet, if you're not happy eating the same things, then don't. Find what works for you. You just can't sit there and say, well, I'm going to have this, 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 and this. Well, what is that you're eating? And if you're starting out, you need to know what you're eating. You just can't say, well, I only had chicken and rice today. Well, how much did you eat? Well, I only had a little bit. Well, how much was it? How many calories were in it? How much fat was in it? How much was in it? Well, we wanted that to eat. I only had a salad. Well, what was in the salad? What dressing did you have? Did you have a drink? Alcohol, that's empty calories. Did you have a soda with it? It's It's these questions you have to ask yourself when you are trying to lose weight, because you have to know what you're eating. I pretty much know what I'm eating because I eat the same thing all the time. And meal prepping is one of the best things you can do for losing weight. Get your lunch together, get your breakfast together. You take that to work with you. You can't eat something you don't have. If you know what you have, then eat it. And that's one of the big things you got to do with losing weight. You have to know what you're eating. And if you go and you have that piece of cake, or you have this, and or you're just eating whatever, and you step on a scale and it's not moving, don't scratch your head and say you don't know what's going on, because you know what's going on. You have to accept what's going on. You have to accept that you're not doing what you need to do. Once you accept that, it's okay. I've fallen off the wagon several times with losing weight. I've done it recently. I've fallen off the wagon. Get back on. It's going to happen. Stick with it. Dust yourself off and keep going. There's no shame in falling off the wagon. Just the only thing you can do is keep going. And know there's others out there like us that are going through the same struggle. And that's why I started that Instagram page, to know, hey, look, you can do it. Anybody has a question, my message is open. I'll gladly answer.
Well, while we're talking about it, what is your Instagram, just so people can be sure to know that?
It is, heck, let me look. It is, oh, Jesus.
I can tell them if you want me to.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, it's Ernie Gut Fit, but it's Ernie_Gut_Fit. And I'll be sure to put a link to that in the show notes for the episode too for people. So don't worry about writing that down. But I think you're hitting on something really important there. Like, you know, and I do want to talk about like sharing, you know, what you share in that too. But before we move past this idea, because I think it's really important that when people hear us saying, you know, you have to find what works for you, there are some basic tenets that apply to every human being universally. And I think that goes back to like that talk. You know, you're talking about the mindset shift and understanding, you know, the fact that trying and failing is different than making an excuse and not trying. You know, that's a common thing that every human being could benefit from. You know, moving our bodies is something that every human being can benefit from. Learning about food and being aware of what you're putting into your body is something that every person could benefit from.
Yes. And when I was at my worst, I thought about getting gastric bypass just because, I mean, I couldn't even go up a set of steps. I mean, I don't know how the heck I even did that job I had. And I was kind of talked out of it. And I'm not downplaying anybody who's had it done. I'm glad I didn't do it, because it's taught me how to eat right. Do I eat right all the time? No. But I know how to do it. I know what needs done. That's, and a lot of my followers have had the surgery and are doing great. But I also know people in my personal life who have had it done, and they weigh more now than they did before they had the surgery. Why? Because they have an eating problem. And you're not learning how to tackle that problem. The ones who have had it done, they've learned how to tackle that problem. know, whether you get surgery or this or that, you have to learn how to cope with your eating problem the best you can. I'm not 100% the best at eating, and I know that, but I try my best, and I want to be the best at I can at eating. And that's all you can do. Ask yourself when you're eating, can I do better? And just push yourself. And you might be surprised at what you can do. And that being said, you know, it's looking back, I'm glad because I've learned a lot by not getting that. Maybe I learned the hard way. That's, you know, some people learn through tough love. Some people learn a different way. Some people, and that's what's unique about this. A lot of the followers I follow, they're all different. Everybody, somebody does keto. Somebody does it. Somebody does intermittent fasting. Somebody does this. Well, that's what. That works for you, great. But find what works for you. Just don't say, well, I tried this. I can't do it. Yeah, you can. Try. And try until you succeed. It took me years. It took me several years of learning and failing and trying and failing. And it's just been the last 6-7 years that's been consistent. Once you realize you can, you'll be surprised what you can do. Not just the eating and working out, but that applies to everything in your life.
Well, one of the things we haven't talked about yet that, you know, is a part of all of this is you were 411 pounds and you've been consistent these past 6 or 7 years and learned these lessons and worked through these things. Like, where has that gotten you to now, man?
Well, I just started a new job and recently just celebrated a 2-year wedding anniversary to my second wife, the love of my life, and I wouldn't be here without being who I am now. Just, you know, I got a great life. You know, we have a great home. We enjoy life together. I look forward to waking up in the morning. I look forward to going to the gym. I look forward to living my life. I didn't have that years ago. The only thing I did was eat myself into submission. Because I hated my life. I hated where I was at. It's totally changed my mindset. I honestly believe there is nothing I can't do. Because I've done what I thought was impossible. It's not over. I will have this journey till the day I die, just like the rest of us. And it's just put me in a place where I know anything can be accomplished, and I don't back down from a challenge. If something comes up in my life, I'm like, okay, this is what we got to do, instead of running and hiding like I used to. Oh, I can't deal with that. That's impossible. No, I can't. And I think back to that guy at the gym who taught me how to dip. He would always ask me, why? Why? And he was, don't shrug your shoulders. Tell me why. And I asked myself that several times a day. Why? Why couldn't I do that? Why can't I do that? I know. Did I try it? No. Well, then how do you know you can't? I just wish I would have found that earlier in my life. That's mm-hmm. all, you know?
I completely understand. And where, you know, people like to hear, like, you've lost some weight. Where are you at now physically?
Right now I'm about 235 pounds. And I had skin removal from my stomach, but it'll be 2 years next month that I had it done. I was down to, I believe, 229. Once the surgery got okayed, I was gung-ho about losing as much as I can, because the more I lost in the 4 months from I got the okay to it was done, the more skin they were going to cut off. And so now I've put some weight back on, but I've added muscle. So I went from 411 to 235 now, and I didn't have this muscle then. So who knows how much fat I've lost?
Right.
I graduated high school. I'm trying to remember. I know it was like 230 something when I graduated high school, and I'm in smaller clothes now than I was then. And I'm in better shape than I was then. I mean, I work 50, 60 hours a week. I still go to the gym, and I'm still moving. It's given me the energy to live a better life. And one of the things I do as a reminder, I have a set of clothes from when I was my heaviest. You look at my profile page and you'll see one of the page that where I was my heavy, that where I'm sitting on a bench. I still have that shirt. It's a 5X. And my stomach hung out of it when I stood up. I put it on every now and then, and it goes down to my knees.
Mm.
It's a sobering reminder of what was. Mm-hmm. And just last week, we were going through some stuff, and I had a weightlifting belt that I had when I was probably about, I don't know, probably around 370, 380 from when I was doing deadlifts. And I showed my wife, I said, look at this, because I haven't worn it in years. I said, I was all the way out to the third set, the last three holes on the belt. I can't even put it on now because there's not enough holes to put it on. I still have it. It's a reminder. Those are places I go to when I'm struggling. Like, I've never not struggled with going to the gym, because it's not just work. It's therapy to me. It's just me. My music. I really don't talk to anybody at the gym. If somebody has a the only people I really ever talk to at the gym are people who are like me. I see somebody who's overweight and they look like a deer in the headlights. And I just go over and introduce myself, say, hey, you know what? Nobody's here to judge you. Just, you got any questions? You know, I said, I've lost some weight myself. You know, if you have anything, you know, come approach me. And that's pretty much where I'm at with it now. It's just, I'm just maintaining, I'm not looking really to add weight, add muscle. Been pretty consistent. They go up and down a little bit. I really don't weigh myself much anymore. And I don't go heavy on the weights at the gym. I just figured I'm almost 50 and got bad knees. I probably shouldn't be squatting 315 anymore or 365. Better preserve what I got. So I just concentrate in anywhere from 8 to 15 reps, and I try to keep it under 30 second rest, and it's more cardio end of lifting weight. It's high reps, lighter weight, and you still build muscle that way. You can still burn calories that way, and that's just what I do. And very seldom do I do cardio, just because I'm on my feet all day.
Right. Well, I think that makes sense, man. Like, it's about coming through this work that you've done and realizing, like you said, the work never ends. It may transform, it may change based on goals and needs and all of those different things. But it's about understanding that mindset will still persist as you go through the rest of your life.
Yep, that is correct. And losing weight, it's all mental. It is physical. Yes, you have to exercise. You can't out exercise a bad diet. I've tried. It didn't work. So it's a mental game. It you can conquer the mental end of losing weight. You can conquer anything mentally, because it's your weight. You can't go in the other room or go on vacation to get away from your weight, because it's always with you. It's on you when you put your shirt on. It's on you when you can't bend over and tie your shoes. It's with you when you go up a set of steps and you're out of breath. It's with you all the time. So it's the hardest part is the mental, and you just have to learn how to tackle it. Everybody's different. I can't tell you how to do it. I'm just telling you how I did it, because you have to find what's best for you. Not everybody's diet is going to reflect. My diet ain't going to reflect your lifestyle. Not everybody is doing what I'm doing. And I can eat more because I'm doing what I'm doing. Opposed to somebody who's, who works in an office. And that's the reality. You have to accept that you're going to have to push yourself harder. That was the one luxury I had, if you call it a luxury, of having a manual job, is I could eat more. And it was easier to lose the weight.
Well, Ernie, I have really appreciated you just taking us into your journey and what did work for you and your perspective on the things in there that are going to be helpful to everyone. So I just want to say a big thank you, man, for coming on the show today and taking us through this experience. And, I'm excited to, share your profile so people know they can follow along and continue to not just be inspired by what you've done, but to continue to see the work that you're doing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And if one person looks at me and says, hey, I can, I want to change, then I'm happy, because I like to see everybody succeed. Living like this is not fun. And it's, living as severely overweight, it's not fun, and it's not healthy. That's the reality. Change now, because the older you get, the harder it is. And just, if I inspire one person, then I'm glad I do my Instagram page. That's why I'm doing it.
Definitely, man. Well, I end every episode with five questions I call the Fat Guy Five. Are you ready for your run through those questions?
Sure.
Okay. So question number one, man, living or dead, Who is your favorite fat guy?
Favorite fat guy? Probably John Candy.
I like it.
If you consider him a fat guy. He was heavy.
Oh, yeah. That's always my favorite answer, so I appreciate that one. Question number two, Ernie. What is something about yourself that you love?
Anymore, I just love the attitude that I have towards life from all this. My attitude, it's made me a positive person. I've gone from a negative to a positive, and that's made my life great.
I like it. Question number three, Ernie, on this journey you've been on, you've talked about a lot of the actions and habits and things that you've built. Like, what do you think is the most important new habit that you've built on this journey?
Making no excuse. I keep saying it all the time. I don't make an excuse. I don't make an excuse at the gym, my diet, my home life, work. I make a mistake, I own it. I eat like I shouldn't be eating, I own it. I don't scratch my head. I say, well, idiot, you're eating what you're not supposed to be eating. So knock it off. So it's got to be no excuse, and it's simple as that.
There you go. Question number four, Ernie. What is one goal you have for the next year that is not health, fitness, or weight loss related?
Next year, to take my wife to the Turks and Caicos.
Nice. I like that. And question number five, last official question for you on the main pod today, man. If you could talk to someone who is in your shoes when you were the 411-pound Ernie, you know, just trying to figure things out and get started, what is a message you think they would need to hear?
Do it for you. If you got kids, do it for them. That's my biggest regret, that I didn't do it sooner for my kids. Because I started later and they picked up habits that I wish I didn't have as far as eating. And luckily my son is down 35 pounds since the first of the year. I hope he sticks with it. And that's, you got to do it for you. And you have to want it.
I like that message, man. Ernie, another big thank you for coming on the show today. I just really appreciate your time and the thoughtfulness that you put into this discussion. We had it. Really appreciated it.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Definitely. So like I said, everyone, Ernie's contact information, his Instagram page will be in the show notes of this episode. And as always, you can also contact me on Instagram at GourmetGoesKeto. You can email the show at thefatguyforum@gmail.com. All that jazz, all that stuff in the show notes. Check out the show notes. There's always some good stuff down there for you. And my friends, after you do all that, remember, go out there today and do something to amaze yourselves, because you're the most amazing people I know. Then catch us on the next episode of the Fat Guy Forum.